from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 7th day of April, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And Drew Lerner will be here to discuss the agricultural weather forecast across the Corn Belt, not only here in the United States, but in Brazil as well. And I'll remind you that we're celebrating our 99th birthday here at WILL. We've been on the air for 99 years, since 1922. And we've been bringing you agricultural programming the whole time. And we're in the middle of our spring fund drive. So I'll be asking you to dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL to pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn settled at $5.60 today. That was up 6.25 cents. The July at $5.46 and nickel higher in December up 2.25 at $4.84. Soybeans were lower, down a dime in the lead May at $14.08. July $14.03, 8.25 lower. November beans down a half cent at $12.70 on its settlement price. The bean meal at $4.09.10 up $2.70. Bean oil, however, down $1.07 at $52.85. Wheat futures soft red July at $6.16, 3.25 higher, and the hard red July at $5.70, up 8 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby at $123.15. That's 42.5 cents higher. In the April, the June at $125.27.5, up 65, and feeders were at $147.62.5 at the end of the day, $1.15 higher. Lean hogs in the May contract at $104.45, up $1.80. Energy futures crude oil at $59.75 a barrel, 42 cents higher. Diesel fuel at $1.80.5. That was a penny and a tenth higher. That's, of course, heating oil and gasoline on the RBOB at $1.95, just about a penny and a half lower for the day. U.S. dollar at 92.3, up 0.02 on the day. Hey, this is the last day of our spring fund drive. If you've not called in yet, 217-244-9455, willgive.org, or you can even text that phone number if you want, however you'd like to give. Thank you so much. We'll hear more about that with Les Schulte in just a second. Now, just a quick reminder, this is our 99th birthday here at Illinois Public Media. Since 1922, this week, we have been on the air, and we've been talking about agriculture the entire time. That's right, the entire time agriculture has been part of our programming, and along with us today to take some of that agriculture up is Jackie Vakes. She's from Total Farm Marketing, as she is each and every Wednesday. She's in Hollister, Missouri. Hey, thank you, Jackie, for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and without the station, I wouldn't be here, right?
Well, you probably would, but...
Well, maybe, I guess.
but yes, it is that cooperative effort between you, the station, and the listeners that makes all of this work. You and the rest of the analysts are just as much a part of what happens here, because you volunteer your time on the agricultural programming as having me here, or the station supporting it, or the listeners supporting it as well financially. And we do really appreciate what you have done throughout the years for the station. Thank you so very much for that. So I do have some questions about today's trade, because it's a little opposite than it has been. Soybeans have led for quite a while. I don't know whether I call corn leading at the moment, but when you look at the day's trade, bean oil, pretty rough day in that pit.
Yeah, you could say that. And the talk in the trade anyway has been, during the day, has been that there was a large hedge fund that actually liquidated a really large long soy oil futures position. So that brings pressure into the whole complex, not just soy oil, but that'll pressure soybeans, that'll pressure meal. And so, I think that makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Now, I wanted to point out that there is no carry in old crop or new crop beans. So what is that saying to us? We want beans and we want bean acres. But now when you look at new crop corn, I think you really need to think about getting some puts in place. And I would just say buy an outright put, sell a call later on. There's no weather premium in this market yet. And why am I looking at corn basically to cover something to the downside? Well, for a lot of reasons. You know, we definitely know we need beans. The weather looks really good. The dollar is higher. China demand, we just don't know what it's going to look like. And when Jeff and I came back from Wisconsin on Monday, the farmers were on the fields from 30 miles north of St. Louis south. And I talked to a couple guys over in Illinois today that are, you know, they have no time for anything. So you know we're starting to get on the land. There's no question about that. And you and I know that corn still has the greatest potential for yield or yield above average. So if the weather's great and I'm a farmer and I have acres to deal with that I can actually change one way or the other, I'm probably going to go corn. And so I just think we have to be very careful. Right now, I think 440 put this morning was like 21 cents or something like that. But you know, there's just a lot of risk to the downside, and especially with the arguments going on with China.
Let's stay with China for just a second. Is there any news there that we ought to cover other than this relationship continuing to develop between the United States and that nation?
Well, 5 Minute Read had an article about African swine fever, which I thought was quite a bit more in depth than what we've heard. That they're saying that it's wiped out at least 20% of the breeding herd in northern China. They, of course, didn't tell us how many pigs that is, but I'm sure it's a lot. And that is way above what they expected. And so they're really very, very afraid that there's going to have more. It's going to move to the south. Let's just put it that way. It said, you know, that everything slowed down in 2019. Well, we know that, you know, because the producers learned how to stop the spread or minimize the spread. But they had an exceptionally cold winter this year. They've got a really high density of pigs following a year of restocking. And we've got new strains of swine fever coming out. So a fresh wave of outbreaks across the northeast, northern China, Henan, which is the country's third largest hog producing province. So, you know, one of the China-based managers said when he was interviewed, this feels like 18 and 19 all over again. So that African swine fever thing is in the background, scares the pants off of a person, because I'll tell you what, we sure don't need that to slow down corn.
Well, speaking of that, that's the export market for the United States, old and new crop, by the way, although the WASDE this week on Friday released at 11 o'clock, you'll find those numbers on our website then, will reflect only the old crop or what we harvested last fall. Do we expect changes?
Absolutely. I've got some of the estimates for you, Todd. When you look at U.S. ending stocks, they're, in March we were at 1.502 billion. They're expecting it to be 1.346. We know that you know, there will be adjustments made because we just had the grain stocks report. Soybeans was 120 in March. They're expecting 119. That's such an interesting number. I think you probably remember me talking about it. You know, when we were so low on stocks the last time, we never really got below 119. And so we'll see once if they continue to do that. Wheat, 849, which would be an increase over March. March was at 836. You look at the world stockpiles, corn actually going down to 284.9 from 287.7, soybeans staying the same, and wheat virtually rising about a half a million metric tons. The big one, I think, more than anything else is Brazil corn and beans, 108.3 for corn, 134.4. And when we look at the March report, we had 109 for corn and 134 for beans. Argentina, 46.8 for both corn and beans, and in March we had 47.7. And I think that I'm going to tie this, Todd, right into Brazil, because AgriConsult actually did a crop tour, and the pre-crop tour forecast that they had was 132.4 million metric tons of beans. Now that they did their crop tour, they're saying 137.1 million tons of beans. And so, you know, of course, that doesn't take into account, you know, what the quality is or any of those types of things. But it's still something that we have to keep in the back of our mind, too. It's one of those situations. They also said 38% of Brazil's second corn crop was planted in the high risk climate window. And that's by the biggest producer in Mato Grosso.
Yeah. Anything else before I let you go?
Oh, yeah, I got to ask you a question. There were hundreds of couples that got married on Saturday. Do you know why?
No.
Because it was 4-3-2-1.
Blast off.
Yeah, no kidding. That's about right.
That's funny.
So, kind of hard to forget your anniversary, I guess.
I hadn't even thought about that. That's hilarious.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again soon.
Okay, thanks, Todd. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. That is Jackie Vick. She's with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Hey, you know, this is our birthday week. That's right. Right here at WILL, we're celebrating 99 years of being on the air. Think about that. WILL Radio is 99 years old. And for a good part of that, we've been asking you, our listeners, to be involved with us directly. To begin with, of course, it was an experiment. Frankly, all the way back to 1921, it didn't even really have call letters back then. It kind of had call letters and a name, X9J something or other. And then eventually, we were licensed as WILL and moved to AM 580. And of course, we're online now at WILL.illinois.edu. Or if you happen to be a big agricultural listener and you're hearing me most of the time, you know that it's willag.org. That's easy to do. But there's another place I'd like you to go today online. It's willgive, willgive.org. And we're hopeful that on our 99th birthday, that's right, 99th birthday this week, that you will make a gift of $99 or maybe $120 or more or less. It doesn't matter, other than you make that contribution because you're a partner with us. It makes a big difference, a really big difference. And Les Schulte is here to tell us a little bit more about that. Les, thank you for being with us. You and I have worked together for, well, not all the 99 years, but a long time now, right?
But quite a few of those 99 years. Thanks, Todd. And that's right. And this is really a big year for WILL. And we're only here because people have supported this station throughout the years. You've used the service. You've told us how much you've liked it. You've told us things we can do to improve, which we appreciate, and but you've also supported it with your dollars, and that's been great because right now the support we get from our listeners is the single largest and most important and reliable source of income that this station has. So think about making your contribution during this fall drive. If it's time for you to renew that gift of support for WILL, do it right now by calling 217-244-9455 or going to willgive.org. If you've never made a contribution to WILL before, think about coming on board, maybe at that $9 a month level or $99 a year to help us celebrate our 99th year of service here in Central Illinois. The number again, 217-244-9455. Or willgive.org or text give to 217-244-9455. Todd, we've talked a lot about the past and our great history that we've had here at the station, thanks to our listeners. But we're really looking forward to the future. You know, technology is changing, and we've tried to keep up with all of the new technology and the new ways that we can bring service to our listeners.
Yeah, we have. We've been doing that for some time. You know, we've been a podcast for a long time. Those are really just coming into their own. However, it's almost 20 years since we started a podcast. Not quite that long, but getting closer. It's what? It's 2021, and the podcast of Commodity Week started in 2003. So we've been at the forefront, and we're going to try to stay out in front. That's one of the great things, Les, working for the University of Illinois, is that technology is available so early that we can, in many ways, here at the radio station and other places across all of campus, try to lead. And it's part of the job of what campus does, is to lead the rest of the community forward. I mean, we are kind of the birthplace of the internet, right? And so, and certainly of at minimum, the way you use a browser for sure. And the podcasts, and looking forward into the future, we will be here. Agriculture has been part of the WILL family since the very first broadcast back in 1922. We've had extension specialists with us on the air for as long as we've been on the radio, and I'm just so proud to be part of University of Illinois Extension and WILL all at the same time. And we've been doing markets since 1935. Weather, too, over a large part of that time frame. And looking forward, we will be here and delivering that kind of programming to producers and the agricultural community across the states of Illinois and Indiana and other places as well for as long as I can see into the future. And we can do that only less because our listeners are part of our business model. I think, about 40% of the funding that we use comes from our listeners.
That's right, Todd. And that, again, as I say, that's really that makes them the largest and most responsible and most resourceful, largest part of the resources that we have here at WILL, most dependable. And so, why don't you do that right now? Make your gift at 217-244-9455 or willgive.org or text to 217-244-9455. If you make a contribution at the $150 level or just $12.50 a month, if you want to set up that sustaining gift plan, we'd be happy to say thanks to you with the WILL hoodie. It's comes in Heather Gray, and it's both in men's and women's sizes. So our way of saying thanks to you at that $150 gift level, the WILL hoodie. And that's just one of the thank you gifts that we have to offer this year. Call 217-244-9455, willgive.org, or text GIVE to 217-244-9455.
Do it now. Hey, thank you, Les.
You're welcome, Todd.
Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to discuss the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hope you're having a good day.
It is another beautiful day. I think the planters across the Midwest are at least out of the machine, if not in the field by this point, and that farmers are putting more than a little bit of corn in the ground for the week. I'm wondering what that planting outlook might be across the Midwest over the next 5 to 10 days.
Yeah, you know, it looks pretty darn good right now. We've got a storm system of size that's moving through the upper Midwest, the northern part of the Corn Belt in general. This will stay with us into the weekend. It will be a slow enough moving system that we will anticipate the impact being not really a big problem because it's still early for that region. So getting this moisture into the soil now is going to be great for down the road when we start to warm that soil up and they'll be able to get into the fields and work it aggressively. In the meantime, the lower Midwest will see a nice mix of precipitation and sunshine over the next 10 days. And it may not be ideal for widespread unlimited field work, but it is going to leave the moisture profile looking very good so that when we start to build a ridge of high pressure, which will probably occur after mid-month, we will be able to warm that soil up and dry things down a little bit, and suddenly we'll see aggressive field progress taking place, certainly around the 20th and beyond. So it really looks pretty good right now.
Is that the same for the Northern Plains? I know you've been worried about them and the Canadian prairies because they've been so very dry.
That's right. And there is a bit of a fundamental change that's being suggested in the model data here right now that puts a little more ridginess in the middle of the country as we get into the period beyond April 20th. The ridge isn't expected to be very strong, but it will be present. And what it will do is this big upper level cutoff low pressure system that we have in the upper Midwest right now will disappear, as you would expect. But the next time we get such a storm to evolve, it's going to be forced much farther to the west in the Pacific Northwest. And as the ridge of high pressure builds up in the middle of North America during the period from the 20th through the 30th of the month, I think it will set the stage very nicely for the trough of low pressure in the Pacific Northwest to, number one, bring moisture into the Pacific Northwest, which they've been dry too, by the way. And number two, and more importantly, it will push some of that moisture from the Pacific Northwest into the Northwestern Plains and Canada's prairies. So I'm thinking the last 10 days of this month will bring in at least one, if not two, storm systems to moisten up some of that soil and turn around the fears and the concerns that are present right now about the drought in those areas. I'm not suggesting drought-busting rains, but I'm suggesting improved topsoil moisture so that fieldwork can begin.
Let's switch continents and move to South America. In October, November, you cautioned us that second cropper Safrina corn could come under some seriously dry conditions because it was very likely that it was going to get planted late. In fact, it did. What are your concerns today, if any?
Well, yeah, I'm very concerned about that Safrina corn crop still. And everything has kind of happened as I was concerned about last fall. The situation there, of course, they were extremely late getting the crop in. They are done with that, and the crop is developing fairly well right now, rather aggressively, because there has been moisture around and temperatures are plenty warm. But the problem is we've shut off the rain here for the last week, and we're going to see another week to 10 days of limited rainfall in some of that Safrina corn production area. Now, Mato Grosso is the number one Safrina corn producing state, and it is the most important, obviously. And they're going to see some timely rainfall. But everybody else to the south, in Mato Grosso to Sol and Paraná and portions of Sao Paulo and Minas Gerais, all of those states are going to continue to be in this dry weather mode. Well, the topsoil is already rated short to very short. Subsoil moisture in those areas is running marginally adequate to slightly short. Another 10 days of this will certainly deplete that topsoil moisture. Subsoil moisture is going to be quite low. My fear is that if we get into late April and the seasonal rains start to pull out of Brazil, as they often do at that time, then we've got no really good moisture profile to work with as we go into May. And that's when these crops are going to be reproducing, a lot of them. And if they don't have good subsoil, where we are almost saturated down very deep into the ground, I'm afraid the potential here is for some rather notable declines in yield. So it's extremely important that they get some better rainfall in the second half of this month. And by better, I don't mean just scattered showers. I mean good, heavy, soaking rains that are going to saturate the ground so that they can carry that moisture into reproduction.
Drew, thank you.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.